goodsuccess.com. Father, we thank you for the privilege of learning at your feet again today. Thank you because we know that no one will return back the same way. And Lord, I ask that you visit everyone today and empower everyone to excel in business in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains strategies for winning in business, a biblical common sense guide, part 4. We're going to go right into it today because we have so much to cover today, and I'm sure that everyone will be blessed, beginning for myself. So we've started this series for a while, and today I will call it Small is Beautiful. That's the tagline for today, Small is Beautiful. And remember, last week we were able to learn a couple of things, and we talked about minimum viable product, we talked about doing your own work, talking about the spiritual things, prayer and fasting, how God can actually guide you in business and lead you to where you should actually focus on. And then we also mentioned about researching the market, avoiding reinventing the wheel, and then you are permitted to innovate. Then we also mentioned how God also used his own, what we can call minimum viable product. He could have created everybody at the same time, but he started with Adam. Adam misbehaved, he tweaked some things in his spirit, so to say. He chased him out to go and experience what it is to be outside of Eden. And then he brought Jesus to bring us back to that place we have always desired. So it's also in business also. So minimum viable product is actually a kind of complete product that may not have all the features you want, so to say, in business, but can stand on its own and still provide the basic major service you want to provide to people. So that's what a minimum viable product is. So for example, let's say you are releasing a product into the market. Instead of spending all your money doing adverts, spending millions upon millions, if you have all the money at that time to spend, you just want to start with a little one, with as few people as possible. And then all the information you need to get, all the feedback you need to get, you get it from this set of people. And once you get it from them, then you can go live and go big. So small is beautiful. What I mean is, to people who actually have a lot of money to put in business. But if you don't have anything to put in business, what do? You have no choice. You have to start with minimum viable products in the first place, because you don't even have the money to throw into adverts and all that. You have to start with as little people as possible. But there's actually a way to go about it. But let's say you have a lot of money to put in business. You would want to avoid putting all that money at first. You want to start as little as possible. Why? Because you can make a lot of mistakes with few people, and they will forgive you. They will guide you. They will be happy to guide you, because they are the guinea pigs, in quotes, you are using to learn about the business. So today, let's dive straight in to what we want to learn. What problem do you solve? What problem do you solve for people? This may sound very simple, but even some big companies still don't know how to define the problem they solve for people. Some medium-scaled businesses, people making millions of dollars, many of them still don't know how to define this thing called problems you solve for people. So let's read some scriptures to bring some spiritual perspective into things today. Psalm 33:11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." You can see that God also makes plans. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9 that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That means if you don't plan your way, God may find it difficult to direct you, because you have not even done the mental work to put the set of activities you are going to put together to achieve the success you want. God wants us to use our brain. I was listening to something today, and that person said he was trying to contemplate and find out why God rested on the seventh day. Was he tired? Was he because of exhaustion? Did he do so much work? He said he rested because he created man. After he created man, he said, oh, now somebody can take over. So a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Then Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." That means because you have a lot of money, or because you have a lot of ideas, or because you think you have experience, you want to go into business, you just jump into it. This scripture is telling us that the one who is hasty, his plans lead to poverty. But the one who is diligent, his plans, that means he will plan. Jesus said that if any man wants to build a tower, he will first count the cost to see if he can actually undo it. So your minimum viable product is that which helps you to count your costs. In fact, within the minimum viable product, you'll be able to know whether what you actually been dreaming about all this while is actually what you love to do. Sometimes you think you actually love managing the product or the service, but what you probably love is managing the business itself, and you want to hire people to manage the product or actually carry out the work itself. And sometimes you think, oh, now I have all the idea, I've worked in this place for several years, I have all the expertise. So you think what you want to do is to start a business and begin to manage the business. No, for some people, what you want to do is just to undo what you love to do, the service you provide, the product you want to sell. That's what you love working on. So for some people, you just hire managers and then you do what you love to do. So, but without a plan, without a minimum viable product, you may not be able to know all these things. You may become so big and realize that you've been running in the wrong race all the while. I talked about a practical session for everyone today. We want to talk about what problem do you solve. Like I mentioned before, some big businesses still don't know what problem they solve. How will you know whether you know it or not if you cannot define it in one sentence? For example, a template will look like this. I do dash for dash so that dash can happen, which means, just like me now, I provide website design for people. For who? For women or for men? What kind of men? What kind of women? Non-techie women, so that they can make more money, or so that they can get more clients and make more money. It's that simple. You have just defined exactly what you do, but it can actually take years for some people to be able to define it. Like I said, it has taken me how many years now, like 7 years of being in business, before I could finally say, this is exactly what I do, these are the people I serve, these are the people I want to serve, or I love serving. And without this, it may be difficult to actually scale because you'll be chasing everybody. For example, if you're a farmer and what you are good at is chasing chicken, you now want to start chasing rabbits. It may be a tough work. But if you are very good at chasing chickens, then you want to chase chickens. And what type of chicken? White chicken, brown chicken, black chicken, you want to chase it and focus on that. So let's say we have 20 white chickens in the place, and then we only have 5 black. Then you forget about the white, you chase the black, because now you have clarity. That's what they call it in business, clarity. You know exactly what you want. So how do you know the problem you solve? The first thing you want to look at is, what solution do you currently or intend to provide? The kind of solution you know you want to provide for people or you already provide. So we said it's going to be a practical session today. It's easy to start from the solution part. For example, somebody will write, maybe web design, that's the solution I provide. Somebody will say, I sell fresh fruits or whatever. If you don't mind, you can just write in a piece of paper wherever you are. This is what I do. That is the solution. Now, the second thing you want to do is, can you in a sentence state what problem your solution provides or what problem you solve for people? Think about it. It always takes time. I was in a meeting not long ago and I saw how one woman who really does a lot of things, she actually has a lot of success, but she still can't define it. And that's when I knew that it can be difficult to actually define the problem you solve. And the organizers of the program was actually saying that it can actually be a lot of work. So, but the truth is this, if you don't know the problem you are solving, it is difficult to solve it. You need to know the problem. You need to know who you are solving it for, and you need to know how you want to solve it. For example, let's take it spiritual now. Jesus came to the world. What problem did he come to solve? And that is where a lot of people are missing it. So many people who are Christians, they think Jesus came to give us money. No. It's part of the things he did. But the major thing he came to do is he came to save his people from their sins. That's why he was called Jesus. He's a savior from sins. So if you miss that main point, you're going to miss every other thing. But if you get that main point right, then you now begin to look at other things that come along with it. So the main problem Jesus came to solve was to save man from his sins. If you have money, you have good relationships, you have every other thing, and you miss that main point, the person has lost everything. Just for you also in business, you need to know the main thing you solve. Now, I want to give some examples. Let's say you are selling weight loss products, all these weight loss things. Let's say that's what you do. Now, maybe you want to know what your target audience is. You need to first look at what is the surface problem you solve, and then what is the root problem you solve. For example, when you provide healthy food, healthy drinks, healthy stuff for people, the internal or the root problem you are solving is to make people live longer so that they won't die before their time. But if you advertise that to everybody, you may not sell. For example, if you advertise that to somebody who is a teenager, 16 years old or 30 year old, maybe early 30s, you may not really sell. But let's say you put it this way. Maybe you look at a certain set of people who are overweight. If I can use that word, they are overweight, obese, and they are females, and then they want to get married, but they are already bothered, or people have already been telling them that, see, the reason you're not getting married is because you're overweight. Now, let's say you go to these people and you tell them something like this: eat healthy, lose weight so that you can marry a man of your choice, or you can be attracted to a woman of your choice. Do you think that person will be more likely to buy than when you tell him you live longer? Maybe somebody is already considering, I'm living long and I've not achieved my desire, so what's the point? But now, if you are able to target this person with the desires of that person, without even mentioning the root reason why you're selling this product, then you can sell easily. Another example is this. Let's say you have a school. Why do people go to school? To learn, to have education. That's why people go to school. Now, let's say you're advertising to people. You can say to them that your children should have good foundation so that you can have a brighter tomorrow. Good foundation for a brighter tomorrow. Every parent wants their children to have a brighter tomorrow. You don't mention to them that these children will be through rigorous exercise in school so that they can pass their exams. No. You tell them about it tomorrow, because that's actually what they are after. But how do you achieve it? By making them go through rigorous exercises, reading, studying, so that they can actually have good success. Now, another example is this. I'm still going to the main point, but these are just examples of how you can pass your message to people. Let's say you meet people. Somebody is in the oil and gas industry. Oil and gas has a lot of money. Money is not his problem. How to spend the money is the problem. He has millions and billions in his account, but doesn't have a house. You know, there are people like that. He doesn't have a house of his own. He stays in hotels. He doesn't have wala. He doesn't want wala. Now, you meet this person, you are telling him that, Oga, solve landlord's wala. End all your landlord's wala. Get a house today. What do you think he's going to do? He's just going to look at you and he'll be like, I don't even know who my landlord is. I don't have a landlord. I don't pay any landlord. I pay through a company. And what I do is, every month, everything is automated. They get their payments. And I stay in my house. I don't have any problem. They serve me. I don't have a landlord. Or I have a landlord. I don't know who my landlord is. I pay my money regularly. I don't have any problem. So you have just missed that person. But let's say you meet that person and you tell him that your status deserves a great edifice. Fully automated edifice where you can actually have the life of your dreams. And you show him a picture of a house with swimming pool, with all manner of beautiful things. Do you think you'll be interested to learn more? You'll be interested to learn more, because now you've already known the target. So you can see how it's important to know the problem you solve, who you solve it for, and how you solve it. Now, that same problem, let's put it in this perspective. Let's say you are meeting a civil servant who is always praying for the end of the month to earn his salary, and you are telling him about a beautiful edifice with swimming pool and all that. You have actually missed him. He wants to have that, but it's in the future, far future, when money comes, not now. But let's say you can show him how he can end all his landlord wala. Because now he's staying in the same house with landlord. Landlord is always disturbing him. You are making noise. You are saying this. And he's always tired. Like, man, I just wish I could have a way to gradually pay for a house that I own. And you bring him a solution where he can actually pay over a period of 5 years for a house. And you say, end your landlord wala by paying only 10,000 naira a month to get your own house in 5 years. Do you think you get his attention? Yes, you get his attention. Because you have spoken the right message to him. You have targeted the right person. Now, let's go back to how do you determine what problem you solve. Now, you can see that now you already know who you are targeting, who has that problem. And then now, because you know who has that problem, and because you already know the problem you solve, and you have determined the ones you want to serve, because you can serve every one of them. Or at least, you can serve every one of them the same way. Just like, if you don't know how to relate with a rich man, you always miss opportunities. If a rich man owes you money, avoid asking him for that money. And I will tell you this, from experience, from working with people, I've known that if a rich man owes you a small money, there's a higher percentage that he may not remember to pay you. Except he's a Christian who already determines that he must not owe anyone. But if you have had experience like this, just put it in the chat. But I can guarantee that most rich people don't like being asked what they cost more money. They want somebody who can provide a solution for them. But most times, because they have bills of millions, he's owing some people in millions, and then you are disturbing him for maybe 10,000 or 100,000, he doesn't see that as a priority. I'm telling you about most rich people who don't have that knowledge of you don't owe people and make sure you pay people on time. Now, this kind of people, the way you relate with them is different. Just solve all their problems and tell them you have solved it. And create it in such a creative way that you can quickly remember. Maybe you put this on paper, you've put all the things you've done, written it out clearly, just give him in a nice envelope, put it on his table and leave. When he reads it, oh, I'm owing this person, he commands somebody to go and pay you. That's how to do it. If you need to know the problem you solve and who you solve it for, because if you don't know who you solve it for, you always miss opportunities. I do something for somebody so that something can happen. That's it. That's how you clarify your message. That's how you clarify what to do. I'll still come back to that. Let's go to the next step. Create a persona that describes such a person you solve this problem for. For example, let's say you're in the fashion business. Not everybody is going to need what you sell. But you want to start with who needs this? Where are they and why do they need it? That's how to create your message around it. Who needs it? Black, white, brown, what's the color? Who is that person? Where do they live? If you're in Nigeria, for example, are there people in the village or people in Lagos or people in Abuja? If there are people in Lagos, where do they work? What kind of person is this person? You want to create an example. You can say, BC is a black young girl who is so much concerned about how she looks, but she's in her mid-30s or mid-20s, rounding up school. Now, if you have put school now, you already know where to find this person. The person is probably living in a school campus or around a school, and you already know that even this person that you are serving, you want to know, are they people from rich homes or people are just living by? The same thing in ministry. All these things apply to me. Let's say you are a pastor, you are in ministry. You want to know who God has sent you to. If God has sent you to rich people, don't go and chase the poor. If God has sent you to poor, don't chase the rich. If God has sent you to medium class, target them. Learn how they behave. Learn how they dress. For example, if God has sent you to the corporate people, you probably want to take a course in management or in the corporate industry. Learn how they think. Learn how they behave. You think all these pastors that we see these days, you think when they do courses, doctorate and all that, you think what they do is theology? No. The Bible is clear itself. You may not need any theology. Of course, doing theology is good. You may not need theology, but you need management principles. You need psychology. You want to know how people think. Apart from what the Holy Spirit shows you, how do people think? So, who is this person I've been sent to? Where is this person? Why am I being sent to this person? How am I going to solve this person's problem? And then another thing you want to clarify is, why should they buy from you? Have you had their experience before? While you're in the banking industry, you have left the banking industry. You now provide a solution for bankers. Now, it's a good place because you know how bankers think. You can easily approach a banker. You can dress like a banker and approach them. For example, you are selling things to bankers. You now dress in t-shirts and jeans. No. If you are going to a bank premise, you dress corporately and talk to them nicely. You know how to talk to them and how to manage time because they value their time a lot. Even if you are a pastor, if you want to attract the right people, you need to dress like them. Attract, know how they speak right. So, whoever you are targeting, you need to know how they talk, how they think, how they dress. Very important. So, what problem do you solve? That's the main focus of what we are doing today. How do you know the problem you solve? We're going to be looking at some things. Number one that we want to check is, what are you an expert in? What are you very good at doing? If you are not an expert in that thing, please don't bother going to that area. If you are not an expert, the chance of you surviving in that industry is slim, because there are probably other people who are doing what you are doing, maybe thousands of them. So you want to first become an expert in that industry. Number two, what led you to this area of expertise and how did you gain the knowledge? I was talking to a coach some time ago in a particular niche of coaching that I did not even know existed. This woman coaches people who go through corporate trauma or something like that. Like people in jobs in the corporate world who are actually going through a kind of trauma, who have been harassed in a kind of way. And why would they stay in this kind of job? They don't have enough money. They think this job is the only thing that can solve their problem. So even if their bosses are harassing them, talking to them disrespectfully and all that, they won't leave. She has gone through that before. She went through that before. She's no longer in the industry. She's like 70 years old, looking so young, looking like 40. But she now helps people who are going through the same thing she's going through to go through that problem. So you want to look at your experience. For example, if you are just going into business, what experience did I have in time past that I can use to enter into this industry? Did you personally struggle with this challenge before you became an expert? If so, what's your biggest concern? What's your idea of success? So these are the things you want to first check out. Then why you? Whose message has resonated with you in the past? For example, there may just be some certain set of people that you feel you can target. For example, let's say you're in the construction industry, like I mentioned before, and you want to target those who are actually extremely wealthy. More often than not, you will not be able to target them and reach them easily and directly. You may have to go through people who know them. So how do you do that? Even if your goal is to build houses for governors, you will not most likely start with a governor, except maybe your brother or your in-law or somebody who is directly related to you is a governor or a politician like a senator and all that. Maybe you will start with people who are cleaners to senators. Maybe you start with people who are secretary to senators and begin to enter that fold easily. That's a very easy way to enter it. Those people have relationship with the people you want to target. So you go through people who have access to them. It's been said that there are four people to the president of any country. Just four people. Somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows the president. You will get to the president. Gradually you can do it. So whose message has resonated with you? If the person is far away, then you want to have a plan of getting there. What other solutions are available in the marketplace that are similar to yours? These are the things you need to consider. If other people are providing this service, like we mentioned last week, you also want to find a way that you can do it better or differently. You don't even have to do it better, just do it differently to appeal to some certain sets of people. Then what makes you unique? What makes you different from other people doing this? Is it that you are truthful? Some of us don't know that truthfulness is a virtue that you can take to the bank to withdraw money. Truthfulness, being truthful, can make you different from other people. It's been known that contractors, artisans, are liars. Let's say you want to have a business that has to do with subcontracts and all those things, and you know you are truthful, man, you are going to sell and make a lot of money by being truthful, by keeping your word. If you tell somebody it will take a month, and it takes a month, and they can tell other people that, can you imagine? He told me it would take a month and it took only a month. In fact, it took 2 days, less than a month as he promised. I thought it was too long, but man, he kept his word. Do you know that will make you get access in different places that normal people will not get access? just by being able to keep your word. Those are virtues. And that brings us back to you being a Christian business person. If you keep everything written in Galatians 5, is it from 21 to end, you will see how your life is skyrocketed. Truthfulness, faithfulness, diligence. You said you will do it and you did it exactly the way you promised to do it. It will make a lot of things. People will not be able to change it for anyone else. You said, this is how I'm going to do it. And you did it exactly how you promised. When? You did it then. How? Same thing you said you would do, you did it. It's going to give you a lot of advantage. Today, the exercise you have is, go and think, what problem do I solve for people? If you are selling food, the problem you solve for people is to stop their hunger. Hunger is the problem you are solving. But do you know that not every food business solves hunger problem? Some people, the problem they solve is not hunger. So if you want to go to the market to solve hunger problem, then your target may not be people are going to be paying a lot of money. Your food has to be cheap if hunger is what you want to solve. But if you're going to do more than hunger, maybe you want to solve some psychological problems or some status problems, then you're going to be doing more than hunger. Then you can be selling your food. There are some places you go to today that you probably spend like 50K in one sitting just eating food. Man, it's not hunger that brought those people there. It's not hunger. Some people, they went there because of relationships. To meet people in high class, people who are high up in the society. That's why they are spending 50K to go and eat food they cannot even eat. They will not enjoy. That if they go to Mama Put by the side of the road, they will eat food of maybe 500 or something and they will be full. But when somebody goes to eat food of 50K, man, it's not hunger that took him there. It's something else. So if you're going to provide service at that level, then what problem are you going to solve for people to pay you that much? It's no longer hunger problem. You cannot see hunger in the marketing of those people. They will not say, satisfy your hunger or satisfy your thirst. No, you will not see that. They will be talking about things that have to do with class. Remember the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Physical needs, emotional needs, status, and all those things. Now, you need to know where those people are in those levels of needs. So if somebody is not in physical needs, you don't want to tell them, solve your landlord wahala today. No. If you say that to a very rich man, you cannot get a project from the person because he's not hungry. In fact, you have just called him somebody who is having landlord wahala. He stays in the house, maybe he pays a hotel of how many dollars every night, $100 a night, and you are telling him about landlord. What concerns him with landlord? If he wants to have a house, he wants to have an edifice. So you want to speak the language that he wants to hear, if those are the people you are targeting. And for you to get there, you may want to start solving problems for people that are close to those people. If, for example, you provide web design services or those kind of services, and you want to target those in the high end, you may want to provide service for those who are close to the high end first before you reach the high end. That is it. And these are principles that are also written in the Bible. A man wanted to reach Jesus. They told Jesus, the man didn't come to Jesus. They said, this man has built a temple for us. It was what he did for those that were close to Jesus that brought him before Jesus. Nothing else. Naturally, he wouldn't have probably had access. See the man in the Bible, Naaman in the Bible, Naaman who was leprous. Syrians are enemies of Israel. There is no way we have ever thought about going to Israel. In fact, he probably never thought he would have a solution to his problem. But the slave girl who was from Israel, because of that proximity, that slave girl told his master, there is somebody where I came from that can solve your problem. If you will go there, your problem will be solved. And because of his relationship with his own king, he got a letter from his king, sent it to Israel, and his problem was solved. That is it. If you want to target some people, you may have to go through some people who are lower in the end of the line to reach them. That is a strategy for you to use. If you are thinking about jumping to the top, you may have to go slowly through the lower ladder to get to the top. Your minimum viable product this time around will be adjusted to serve those who are in the lower end of the cadre. Serve them properly. Do all the things you want to do. There are some things you cannot do for them because they can't afford it. But serve them at their level. Then they will tell other people in the next level about you. You get to the next level. Then they will tell other people in the higher level. Then you get to the higher level. Then before you know it, you are servicing kings. You are servicing presidents. So, small is beautiful. If you think you are small today, do what you are supposed to do well for those people around you right now. And then God will promote you. Now, the principles of the kingdom, God will promote you. When you do well, for those who are around you, we catapult you up. You do well again, it will take you up again. And then you do well again, then you will go up to where you should be. That's where we're going to end it today. And next week will be another edition. I hope you have been blessed at all today. I think I've been blessed myself because I've heard some things I didn't know before myself. Do you have any question?
Hello, sir. Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Please, I have a question, sir.
Okay, please go ahead.
The question is not kind of related to today because I actually listened through to today's teaching. But the question I actually want to ask is that how do we scale properly? That's the question I want to ask.
Okay, how do we scale properly? Okay, so number one, the question would be what scaling is to everyone. Scaling is going from one level to another. That means you're already in a particular level. Then you want to change that level to the next one. So number one, mindset is what I believe we'll start with. Number one, you need to start thinking like the people in that next level you want to get to. For example, like I did some various courses, various events in the past few months. And if there's anything I've known, the way you think when you're in the level of 100 is not the way you think when you're in the level of 1,000. It's not the way you think when you're in the level of 1,000,000. Number one, change your mindset. That's the first thing. Number two, research what happens in the next level you are going to. You don't want to get there and be shocked at what happens there. For example, let's say your business is doing millions in dollars. Or let me say several thousands in dollars, six figure in dollars. Now, if you want to get to the level of millions, you may want to start rethinking or learning how it's being managed. Because most people at that level of several millions, they lose control of that business. There's a level you get to that when you begin to bring investors, when you bring a lot of people in and there's so much money, you won't even have say again in that business. And that's when a lot of people leave their businesses. That's even when some people sell their businesses. Because when you enjoy sometimes, when it's still small, that's why small is beautiful. So, you need to learn what happens in that next level, study it, and prepare your mindset to even know how you want to be involved in that next level. Then, number three, relationships. You need to begin to create strategic relationships that will bring you to that next level. That's apart from spiritual things now, praying, fasting, and all those things. You need to build relationships that will bring you to that next level. For example, in the past few months that I joined a particular platform, the kind of people I have met, in that platform, they are top people. People are doing millions of dollars. People are doing several thousands of dollars. People have retired who have sold businesses worth millions of dollars. You now see them face to face and they are talking to you like on Zoom and all that. Man, when you have that kind of relationship, the way you think will be different. So you want to build relationships in that level. You want to learn. Maybe do courses, short courses, read books, study how to undo that next level you are going to. It's even important than getting to that next level. Because the Bible says that anyone who builds his house not on the rock, that and the house falls when storms come, that great shall be the fall thereof. Like I said, where I will stop today, I know we are still planning to touch down on all these things, growing your business. So you want to change your mindset, learn the mindset of that next level, create strategic relationships, and learn about that next level, what happens there. Then easily you can cross there when you can see it and think it. That's a short I'll touch today because of our time, but we have that in mind. It's in the pipeline, all the things we are still going to talk about. I hope what I said helped a little.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. I hope everyone has been blessed in one way or the other. Please listen to the recording. I know it's a lot of things we touched today, but I try to be as slow as possible. And then see you next week. And I pray that as you begin to change your mindset, change levels, I pray you be blessed indeed in the name of Jesus. And I pray that everything you touch this week will expand, will increase. The grace for you to begin to think and have the mentality of where God is taking you to maybe release afresh upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week and be blessed in Jesus' name.
The good success has come.